Father's Day to all the dads too. Man, what an honor to be a dad. Good on you. If you're a father, for being in church this morning, for just representing what is most important, not necessarily being in church, but a relationship with God that's growing and that's passionate. And just God bless you for that. Hey, I'm going to preach a message this morning called In Peace or In Pieces. And I'd like to ask you guys to pray one more time as we get into God's Word. Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to gather. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you and to lift you up, to draw closer to you, to spend time in your Word, to gather as a community, as a family, as a church, as a body, as friends. And God, we ask that you bless these next few moments as we spend time looking at your Word. And I pray, God, that your peace that surpasses all understanding would continue to guard our hearts and minds as we grow closer with you and commit to walking on the path that you lead us on. In Jesus' name, amen. Silent night, holy night. All is calm. All is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Now, I recognize this is an odd way to start a message on Father's Day, but I want you just for a second to picture with me some of the images that come to mind when you hear that song, and the images that have been portrayed of Mary with child. What comes to your mind? What do you see when you hear that song, when you think of those pictures? I mean, typically it looks beautiful. It's majestic. There's a sense of peace that we're able to picture and that's been created through some of the images that we see, and it's not real. I mean, my wife and I, we've had three children. I've been in a lot of delivery rooms. I was a pastor for 18 years, and it never looked like the images that we're able to gather in our mind from the lyrics of that song. As beautiful of a picture that song paints for us, it's hard to imagine that all was calm and that everyone slept in heavenly peace that night. I just can't imagine. I mean, they were in a manger. Joseph was the delivery nurse and the medical doctor all in one. He did it all that night. I just can't picture it. However, we're drawn to images like that. We are attracted to the lyrics of that song. It's appealing to us because it draws us into peace. It's so peaceful. We're attracted to it. And I just want you for a second, when you think of peace, what does that place of peace look like for you? Can you picture it? Can you imagine it? When you are experiencing peace, what is that place for you? For me, it's Camille's in Destin, Florida. At about 7:30, 8 a.m., my wife and I are sitting in the patio section of Camille's coffee shop, right across the street from the beach, with nothing to do but just relax, drink our coffee, and listen to the beach. I mean, when I think of being there, it puts me in a place of peace. I mean, can you see it? Can you feel it? Can you hear the crash of the ocean? Can you taste the delicious latte? Oh my gosh. I can just taste it. It's so good. What if God actually has a plan to overwhelm us with peace? But what if we're missing it? What if we're missing it? And often we're just walking into situations, circumstances, and life, and instead of experiencing peace, instead of being overwhelmed with peace, we just end up overwhelmed. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? And I know for some of us in times like this, it's especially difficult, you know, the pain of losing someone that we care about, that's hard. It stings. We feel that. Then there's the inflation that we're all experiencing, the rising cost of gas prices. You know, I saw on the border of Nevada in a rural town, the highest recorded cost of gas, $7.80 a gallon. Crazy. And then you just bring it down to our home life, the little arguments and the bickerings that takes place within our living rooms or around the kitchen table or on our way to church. Listen, I've got an 18-year-old, a 16-year-old, and an 8-year-old. There have been little arguments that have taken place in our house, and there have been big arguments that have taken place in our house. And what I'm saying is we're all in this together. Every one of us, we're all in this together. And one thing that I believe with all my heart is that we all long for peace. We desire it. We're hungry for it. We need it. We want it. We talk about peace, but what is peace? And how do we experience it? And why do we have such a deep longing for peace? You ever wondered that? You ever thought about that? Why is peace so impactful? Why do we feel so hungry, so drawn toward? And what is peace? The way we define peace, the way it's defined is peace is freedom from disturbance. Peace is freedom from disturbance. That's the way we typically describe it. That's the way we define it. You know, it's a period in which there is no war or after a war has taken place, and we're in a place of peace. We are free from disturbance. That's how we would typically describe and define peace. And we don't have peace. We know what that feels like. We know what the stress feels like, the sleepless nights, the upset stomachs, the chest pain, the racing thoughts, the worry. We know what it's like when we're not experiencing peace. We know what it's like to not have peace. And so we typically think of peace as the absence of problems. Well, if this would just go away, then everything would be peaceful. And what I want to present to us over the next few moments is that God has a definition of peace that expands its capacity and ability to bring rest into our lives in any and every situation. God's definition of peace is expansive, it's robust, it's powerful, it is quite significant the way that God describes and defines peace, and it's the peace that he desires for us all to experience regardless of what's going on in our lives. It's powerful. And we're going to look at this peace. We're going to build some context. We're going to build a foundation for the peace that God has for us, starting in the Old Testament of the Bible. And the word that is used for peace is shalom. Shalom. And what this word means is to make complete, to make whole. Shalom, to make complete, and to make whole. In Joshua 8:31, you guys ready for a Bible study? Huh? We're gonna go through a series of scriptures, and we're gonna do a little mini Bible study here this morning. In Joshua 8, verse 31, it says, "Make me an altar from stones that are uncut." Now, this is interesting because you know what that word uncut actually is in the Hebrew? It's shalom. So let me read it to you again. Make me an altar from stones that are shalom. That's actually what it's saying. Make me an altar from stones that are uncut, that are shalom, and have not been shaped with iron tools. So in other words, another way that we could begin to understand this word shalom, this peace that God desires for each and every one of us to live in and to have and to possess and experience, is that shalom it's like an unbroken stone. It's complete in its shape. There's no cracks. There's no severing. It's complete. It's whole. In Job 5:24, it says, "You will know that your home is safe." You will know that your home is shalom, is actually the word that's used. When you survey your possessions, nothing will be missing. You will know that your home is safe and shalom. And so what we begin to understand also about this word shalom, about this peace that God has for you and I, is that it's like a secure home. Like a home that's never been stolen from. Like a home that has everything in place where nothing is missing. It's a shalom home. Can you say that with me? Shalom home. Do you not want a shalom home? What if our hearts, what if our lives, what if our minds could be a place, a home for shalom? It's what God wants for us. 1 Kings 9:25. 3 times each year, Solomon presented burnt offerings and peace offerings. And peace offerings. Again, the word peace there is actually shalom. And shalom offerings on the altar he had built for the Lord. He also burned incense to the Lord. And listen. He offered the shalom offering, the peace offerings. It was a part of this process. And as he burned the incense to the Lord, he finished the work of building the temple. And so again, we understand this shalom is like a diamond. I mean, it's multifaceted. There are so many aspects to it. We begin to understand even more about the shalom that God has for us. It's like an offering. It's the giving of something that is missing that helps bring it to completion. It's powerful. It's powerful, the shalom. The shalom. In Proverbs 16, verse 7, it says, when people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them. Even their enemies are at shalom with them. So yet again, one more time. Listen, we understand that shalom, it's like the making amends. It's the healing. It's the restoring of a relationship. It's the mending of two people back together into communion and relationship and friendship. And so this word is powerful. It's significant. It's meaningful. It's robust. It's the peace that you and I desire and long for. To bring peace, to bring shalom, to experience it, to live in it, to have it, it actually means to make complete. Every aspect, nothing missing, all components, all parts, everything that your life is. What if there was a peace that you and I could have, regardless of what's going on, regardless of the situation, that peace is complete in our lives. See, peace is more than the absence. Listen, do not miss this. Peace is more than the absence of something troubling. Peace is shalom. Peace is the presence of something. And for you and I this morning, peace is the presence of someone that brings wholeness. See, we've got to stop thinking about peace and you and I experiencing peace in our life. Well, if this would just go away, if this would be absent from my life, if this trouble would be absent from my life, then I would experience peace. And what God is actually conveying to us is that peace is more than the absence of something troubling. It's the presence of someone better. It's the presence of someone who brings completeness and wholeness to our lives. Look at this. Again, this verse is most commonly used around Christmas time, but in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Do you know the rest of it? If you know the rest of it, what is it? Prince of Peace, Prince of what? Do you think? Prince of Shalom. Jesus is the Prince of Shalom. And so remember, we just went through all those verses describing, understanding the facets and aspects of what shalom is. And so listen, we've got to understand that Jesus, he's like that unbroken stone that's complete in shape without any cracks or severing. Jesus is like that secure home that's never been stolen from, with nothing missing. Everything is in place exactly where it's supposed to be. Jesus is like that offering where something was missing that helps bring the act of building to completion. Jesus is like the making amends. He's the healing. He's the restoring of a relationship back to friendship. Jesus is the Prince of Shalom. Peace, listen, we want it, we need it, we long for it. Here's what it is. Peace is the reality that Jesus restores wholeness between God and you and I. Peace is the reality that Jesus restores and makes amends between God and mankind. See, I know we want peace in our lives. I know we want peace in our communities. I know we want peace in this church. I know we want peace in our families. I know we want peace in our careers. I know we want peace in this season that we're living in. I know we want peace in our homes, in our children. I know we want peace in our finances. I know we want peace in our hearts. Let me ask a question. Is the Prince of Peace, is the Prince of Shalom, the peace that is missing, that is keeping you from experiencing peace in those areas? Now listen, I know probably most of us, all of us are Christians, we're following God, we believe in Jesus, but how easy is it for you and I to get in these places and for Jesus to be on the back shelf? And we're going through the motions, striving, doing all that we can, doing all the things that we think that we're supposed to do, and peace is missing. It's right in front of us. It's already been given to us. It's already there for us to experience and to consume and to have. And we forget it. It's so easy to forget that Jesus has already made it complete for us. He's already finished it. He's already done it. We don't have to strive. So much striving as a follower of Jesus. So much striving, thinking, do this, do that. And Jesus is just saying, just have it. Just here. Take it. Receive it. Experience it. It's yours. You think about everything that Jesus went through on the cross. Do you think he went through all of that? All of that. For you and I to try to kick and claw and fight to experience what he's already won for us? Do you think he went through all that for us not to experience what he died to give us? And we sit here and, oh, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. No. All the striving that's built up in our hearts, all the striving that's built up in our minds, can we just let that go this morning? You know, I've been a Christian 22 years. All the striving that can even come with all of the things that we make Christianity out to be. And Jesus says, I already did it all for you. Just stop the striving and receive my peace. See, when we think of wanting peace, we think of wanting something to go away. You know what I'm talking about? Well, if this would just go away. You guys married? Any of you married? Been married for a little bit? Remember when you were engaged or dating? There was just no wrong that other person could do. And then all of a sudden, about 3 months into marriage, you're like, oh, I didn't know that they clicked their food when they, I didn't know they clicked their jaw clicked when they chewed on their food. Oh, I didn't know that he didn't like to put the cap back on the toothpaste, right? All these little things begin to build up. I actually have a list of nine things that in honor of us fathers, nine things that dads and husbands do that just kind of get under our skin a little bit. Leaving your wet towel on the floor. Asking where something is without bothering to look first. How many of you know what I'm talking about? My wife can ask me to get something from her purse, and it's literally like traversing into a cavern, a dark cavern. Like, I can't find anything. She's like, did you even look? Yes, I looked. Not wiping out the sink after you shave. Somehow my wife finds the most minute. I thought I got it all. Refusing to ask for directions. Snoring. Acting like a baby when you have a slight cold. It's called the man flu. Inviting a pet to sleep in bed. I'm guilty. Leaving the toilet seat up. Telling the worst jokes, but insisting that they're still funny. They're dad jokes. I mean, give it to us. I mean, listen, if you do nothing else for your father today, at least laugh at his jokes. It'll mean the world to him. But we think, you know, if he would just stop doing this, then there would be peace. If this bill would just go away, then there would be peace. If this administration would just go away, then everything would be better. Go down whatever your list is. If this was just absent, if this would just go away, then I would have peace. See, when we think of wanting peace, we think of something going away. And maybe when we want peace, what we need to think of is someone coming closer. It's interesting because there's some parallels between what was taking place in Jesus' day and what we're experiencing right now. And you know, there's really nothing new under the sun. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree to take a census of the entire Roman world. Now, Rome was under a constant battle of succession of power in that time. Until Augustus succeeded in capturing the rule of Rome about 30 years before Jesus was born. Now, just like today, the Roman people were longing for peace. They needed it. They wanted it. They were hungry for it. And Augustus, he actually established a peaceful rule. Some of us might have learned about it in school. It was called the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome. And he actually helped restore confidence in the government, and he improved morale. What would it take today for that to happen? The thing is it would still never be enough for the peace that you and I need, because the government, a person, our finances can never fully and completely and wholly provide the peace that we desire and need. There's a rabbi named Robert Kahn. He was from Houston, Texas. He capsulizes the distinctives between the Roman peace that we just kind of described and the Hebrew shalom that we've been building this message around. He helps us understand the distinctives and the differences between the peace that can come about through these worldly external things that we think, well, if this would just go away, then things would be better. He helps us understand the distinctives between that type of thinking and the Hebrew shalom that we just talked about. Here's what he says. One can dictate a peace, but shalom is a mutual agreement. See, we can say, we're going to enforce peace. We're going to mandate peace. One party's in control. One side of it is in power. But the Hebrew shalom is a mutual agreement where on both sides say, yes, I'm entering into this. I'm stepping into this. It's a mutual agreement. Peace is a temporary pact Shalom is a permanent agreement. How temporary. That's why when we live our lives according to what's happening in our lives and what we are experiencing in our lives and the peace that we're living in, when we are dependent upon what is happening rather than dependent upon the one who gives us the peace, that's why it feels so temporary. That's why it comes and goes. Peace is a temporary pact. Shalom, the shalom that God is offering, extending, provided. It's permanent. Doesn't come, doesn't go. Listen, it's not dependent upon how your ability to be perfect, to do all the right things, to say all the right things, to be in all the right places at all the right time. It's not dependent on any of that. It's closer than a brother. It's not going to leave you nor forsake you. One can make a peace treaty. Shalom is the condition. It just is. It is the condition of peace. Peace can be negative. It's the absence of commotion. Shalom is positive. It's the presence of serenity. Peace can be partial. Shalom is whole. See, you could have your bank account exactly where you need it to be, and maybe that aspect, that compartment of your life, you may have peace there, but again, it's just partial. What about the rest of who you are? What about the other components, the other aspects of your life? See, peace can be partial. Shalom, peace, is whole. Peace can be piecemeal. Shalom is complete. See, we try to put it all together. We try to sew it together. Well, give me a little this, give me a little that. I need some of this here too. And we kind of put this thing together and we think it's going to be peace. And this is how we construct and build and put our lives together. We piecemeal it. And shalom is complete. It's already there. There's nothing we need to add to it or take away from it. And I know life is intricate. It's complex. Sometimes it's difficult. And when it's not whole, it begins to break down. In Romans 5, verse 1, it says, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith. Did you hear that? We've heard this verse before. Listen to it again. Since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace. Eirene. We're reading Greek now, but it's safety, it's assuredness, it's calmness with God. Since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us, the Prince of Shalom. So how do we experience wholeness? Jesus is the provision that completes our desire for peace. Jesus. We've heard that. I get it. But do we experience it? Do we live in it? Do we welcome it? Are we receptive to it? Are you living whole? Are you living in peace or in pieces? Are you living complete, made whole and complete by Jesus, or does everything feel scattered and broken? Is your life like a stone that's whole, that's never been broken or severed? Or does it feel like it's scattered in a lot of pieces? Are you living whole or in pieces? Where is there brokenness? Where? Is there brokenness? Wherever it is, this morning, I just want us to receive and to be receptive and to be welcoming of the shalom peace that Jesus has for us. Could we stand on our feet this morning? And there's nothing, listen, just receive. Just receive. Just receive. All the striving, all the, well, if I do this, then that. All the hoping, all the misplaced hope in, well, if I do this, then I believe God will. No, listen. Just receive. Receive the Prince of Shalom. Receive the peace that he has for you. Wherever there's brokenness, wherever there's wholeness, receive it. Even if the only words that you say are, I receive your peace. I receive your peace. I receive your wholeness. Thank you for making me complete. As the band sings, can we do that this morning? Listen, you don't have to chase. You don't have to run. Just receive. Wherever that is in your life, is there an aspect? Is there a component? Jesus says, you don't have to, you don't, all this doesn't have to be broken into a million pieces. Let me just come make you whole. Jesus, we welcome that this morning. We receive it. We receive it and we thank you for it. And as we sing, we're receptive to it.